Well, if there's one thing I have to say, well, actually two things. I actually have a lot. But in the South, we have a saying. We have a saying. And that saying is, if this service so far this morning has not lit your fire, then your wood must be wet. To the point where I just told Reverend Candace, can I go home now? I don't need to preach. Amen. There needed to be no amen to that one. Don't even go there. So when I was preparing for my sermon this morning, I was immediately attracted to a reference of an article by Christian Century magazine. They wrote about Christianity in today's world and said, and I quote, "In order to politically or socially be acceptable, we've often stripped Christianity of Jesus or transformed him into a character he's not. We've made Jesus wimpy rather than revolutionary, tolerant rather than loving, good rather than God." And in many ways, that speaks truth to me. That speaks truth to me in many ways. Because in an effort to tone down our Christian witness and our faith journey, we have watered down our rhetoric. And we have embraced ideas and philosophies that are cloaked in Christian love, while at the same time placing higher than realistic expectations on our leaders and pastors and our congregation, while forgetting the centerpiece of our Christian faith is not about us, but it's about the good news through Jesus Christ. We have forgotten that to truly and to fully see Jesus is to be radical disciples sharing in a radically inclusive gospel just as the radically inclusive Jesus did. To embrace without labels. To love without labels. To embrace a 14-year-old straight boy who is trying not to bring girls home to the house. Prom's coming, just so you know. You know, over the past 4 to 5 weeks, we have been in the Lenten journey where we have challenged ourselves to try on a renegade Jesus. Since Ash Wednesday, we have searched throughout our temptation struggles, embracing a radical and revolutionary Jesus and understanding that he didn't die on the cross for our sins. Reverend Candace said that. Just remember. We embrace a radical and revolutionary Jesus. We're asking ourselves the question, who do we say Jesus is in our life today? And now we come to week 5 of our Lenten season. Where do we see Jesus today? Over the last few weeks, I have pondered this idea. I've thought about it. Is Jesus alive and well in today's world, or is he just a mere whisper of our imagination? Is he an active part of our ongoing discipleship with ourselves and the world around us? Or is he just a collection of stories we only dust off when we need him? Is he part of a solution where we try to grapple with a faith that are centuries and millennia old? Or do we just keep him under lock and key for fear someone might accuse us of being silly and unreasonable? My belief, folks, is that we can still see Jesus today, but the question is, where do we see him? Where can we find him? And of course, I have three ways. Because I want you to come away with something. Number one, the measure of discipleship. The measure of discipleship. In our text this morning, we hear Jesus wrapping up an extended eschatological discourse that ran from Matthew chapters 24 and 25. In other words, he's talking about the coming dominion of God by using sheep and goats as a representation. And this is just before the Passion narratives, where he has the Last Supper and he's betrayed and he's crucified. But as we look, there is maybe one slight piece we overlooked. One slight piece that as we were listening to the sheep and the goats and those on the right and those on the left, we overlooked the verse that illustrates all the nations came together. And this was broken down into its most basic form. It was a Greek word called ethne, which means Gentiles. Gentiles were considered as the outsiders of the group. But Jesus, being Jesus, made sure that these people were included in this wisdom. Jesus made sure that in his teaching and in his ministry, in his healings and in his gospel message, he made sure that it wasn't reserved for the chosen few. Fast forward to today, our faith challenges us at the heart of who we are to carry out Jesus' mission. We are Jesus' legacy to the world. Do you believe that? We are Jesus' legacy to carry out a mission to minister and serve to the least of those in our midst, which is all people everywhere. When we demonstrate Christ's love by ministering to others who may have no one to care for them, we acknowledge and are aware that we have truly become a disciple of Jesus. Our scripture passage indicates that whenever we give food to the hungry, we welcome a stranger, we clothe the world, we visit the sick, we act in kindness toward Jesus himself. Because Jesus walked in those very same shoes. Jesus walked in those very same shoes. It reminds me of a story that I was told when I was growing up about Conrad. And this is not in my notes, so I don't know where this is coming from. But Conrad woke up on Christmas morning. Yes, I know we're about to go into Easter. And he was praying, and all of a sudden he heard a voice coming saying, "Conrad, I'm coming today. This is Jesus. I'm coming today." So Conrad gets excited, and he gets dressed, and he eats breakfast, and he is cleaning the house. And all of a sudden, he hears a knock on the door. He opens the door thinking that it was going to be Jesus, because Jesus was very punctual in his thought. Only to find a woman who had no clothes, no shoes on her feet. Conrad brings her in, and on Christmas it was snowing. Gave her a cup of meal, cup of soup, coffee, and brought her on her way. Conrad was not annoyed by this inconvenience, but he continued doing it, and he started scrubbing the floors and cleaning the house and cleaning the dishes, and all of a sudden, a knock on the door. Conrad, thinking that it was Jesus, gets so excited that he opens the door again, and he was troubled to find that it was two twin children who have lost their way, getting separated from their mother and father. Conrad brings them in, gives them toys, gives them books, and finds a police officer who then gives them back to their parents. Conrad continues getting the house ready again, and he sees that the hour is getting later and later and later. He's thinking, Jesus is going to come soon. He promised he would. He hears a knock on the door. Conrad knows that this is Jesus' time, and he opens the door so excited and comes to find out that it was someone, an immigrant, who barely spoke English. Conrad brought him in, welcomed him with open arms, made sure that he had a good meal, clothed him, and sent him on this way. The hour had grown late, and Conrad said in his prayers, "God, Jesus, why have you not come? I told you. You told me that you were coming today. What happened?" And he hears a voice saying, "But I was that beggar woman who came. I were the twin children who had lost their way. I was the immigrant who spoke no English, and you fed me and cared for me. Three times I came to your house. Three times I knocked on your door. And you answered every single time. Well done, my faithful servant." Discipleship is about serving and loving and learning. But it's challenging to do when we live in places that are give me, give me, give me. I need, I need, I need, I want, I want, I want. With nothing in return. And instead lifts up excuses. When we are followers of Jesus, folks, we realize that it's not about us. The difference between followers of Jesus and those who don't know Jesus is that those who have seen Jesus no longer have an excuse to avoid the least of these. So once we understand Jesus seeing in our discipleship, we see Jesus in number two, what we call the power of expectation. Now let me reiterate, this is not how we define expectations. Instead, I resonate with Michael Slaughter, who was the author of Renegade Gospel, the book that we're studying in class. He said, quote, "Expectation needs to be constant and outgoing, a daily, intentional, whole life priority of seeking the presence of Christ today, of actively listening for Christ's voice in the present. We should always be in the process of seeking Christ in our lives, being revolutionary and living into the power of expectation. What it is not, it's not allowing yourself to have a pretty Jesus put up on your wall. It is not allowing yourself to have Jesus put on a sanctuary nailed to the wall. Not just so you can bring him out anytime you feel like it. It's actively searching for him in your life, in your heart, knowing that Jesus Christ has always been there for you. You just need to pay attention. Let Jesus be part of your spiritual and personal experience. You know, when I was a kid, I remember our first non-American car. Now, let me remind you, it was a Volvo. And let me remind you that this was rural by God. King James Version was good enough for Paul and Silas. It was good enough for me, kind of Georgia. Now, before that time, I never knew Volvo existed. My experience was limited to Chevrolets, praise the Lord. But once we acquired the Volvo, I began seeing them all over the place, to the point where my brother and I played games in the back seat of the car to see who could find the most Volvos on the interstate traveling to Atlanta. And I think our relationship and the power of expectation is the same way. When we see Jesus, we experience Jesus. But in order to fully experience the power of Jesus in this world, we must be willing to fully see Jesus, allowing ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do God's work in the world. And the final one, where we see Jesus, We see Jesus in places where we are spiritually awake. Here we go. Slaughter, in his book, talked about the problem of spiritual drowsiness. Spiritual drowsiness. He surmises that when we are spiritually drowsy, we don't recognize Jesus. We have fallen asleep at the wheel and are no longer attentive to the Spirit's voice. He says spiritual drowsiness is dangerous to our long-term health. When we first get into the church, we get so excited we want to jump in with our feet. But as that first love and passion fade, we become spiritually drowsy. We are no longer able to see clearly the Christ to whom we commit our lives. I think that's what's going on in the churches today. We have fallen asleep at the wheel. We have not taken our own inventory to serve others, to provide others with a home that provides spiritual comfort and nourishment, a place of love and acceptance. That's the problem. People are wondering or taking statistics nowadays saying that Christianity is dying. I mean, how many times have y'all heard that on the news? It's not dying. We're just dying. And let me tell you something. It's time to wake the heck up. It's time that we stop wallowing in our complacency, in our comfort, and our spiritual sleep. We need to stop sitting thinking that others are going to do it for us. We should take responsibility in our own lives. The church has fallen on its job because we have become the status quo. We have forgotten the renegades that Jesus instilled in his followers. And folks, if we ascribe to be following in Jesus' legacy, we have to go back to the basics of being the renegade people that Jesus has called us to be. We cannot be renegades if we're sleeping in our pews or in our classrooms or at social hour. We cannot be asleep. We have become so comfortable with the glory days or yesteryear, we forget that we still have a mission. We forget that God is not done with us yet. We forget that God is still speaking to us today, and we are still fulfilling a calling that God has called us to do. Why are we sleeping? We must go back to the basics of our faith. And if we want to really see Jesus, we have to acknowledge and serve others, not just ourselves and our self-inflated, self-aggrandizing selves. When we awaken ourselves up to new knowledge of Christ and our role in advancing a radically inclusive gospel, we get to fully see Christ in the world because we are the embodiment of all that Christ stands for. That is our mission. Reverend Candace just a few weeks ago said that we must go back to the basics. We can't get any more basic than this. We have responsibilities. We have to see them through. So this morning I encourage you, always see Jesus. Always disciple. Always expect. And always be awake. My prayer for you is that you will continue to see Jesus in all the wisdom that he provides you. And know that as we come toward Easter, God is not done. God is only just beginning. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Precious God, we give you thanks for this time, and we give you thanks for the knowledge and the wisdom you have imparted on us today. As a community of radical believers, may we continue to keep you and keep our Christ in the forefront of all we do as we serve, protect, and love one another. Help us finish this service with joy and with power, beauty, and love. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen.